Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Elijah Winfrey Show. I am your host, Elijah Winfrey, and we have a terrific show lined up for you today. The show today is all about you and your email questions of the week. On my show previously, late last year, I answered questions toward the end. Today, we're going to make the show all about you. But before we get to that, I want to introduce my fabulous co-host. Now, when I started the show, I had ideas of possibly having a co-host. Well, I wanted a co-host, a different voice or another voice, giving you different perspectives in the communities besides my voice. And, you know, I thought about it a lot. And, you know, and if you know me, you know that I start throwing things against the wall and hoping that something sticks. And something usually does after my team tells me to think about it and plan it out first. So I thought of having monthly co-hosts. And my team thought it was a great idea. And with that being said, I would like to introduce my co-host today, Ms. Tony Boucher. Tony, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. It's good to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
Awesome, awesome. Now, before we get going into these questions for the show today, let's catch up a little bit. Let's get the listeners caught up on what I've been doing and what you've been doing. So let's share a little bit about, you know, what's been going on in your world.
Sure. Yeah, it's been a while since we've done this, so a lot has gone on. one of the things that happened between now and the last time we talked is our community in the Charleston, South Carolina area held a networking meeting for like-minded folks in the area to just get together and see what everybody was up to. And that was a really amazing thing. We're getting ready to do our next networking meeting. And you find somebody in your community who can host the space, and somebody pitches in to do drinks and light refreshments. And we just got so much positive feedback from that, making sure that everybody is working together, supporting each other on common causes. So that has been a really fun thing. I do a parent support group for families who need a little bit of guidance or support. If they have anybody on the spectrum or any other kind of special needs, they come and sit in a room for an hour and a half every week with other parents who can relate to their situation. And I mentioned that again because I think, you know, if that's something people can do in any community. It doesn't cost anything. You just get together and support each other. So I do have one very exciting thing coming up. It's called an Ask an Aspie Forum, and that's where we're going to be getting together young adults on the spectrum who would like to mentor in the community, and they will be sitting on a forum, and younger kids on this spectrum, their parents and community members who want to support the autism community will be able to ask them any question about work, school, growing up, dating. And so that'll be coming up soon too. I'm really excited about that. So
that's awesome. That, you know, that the whole mentor thing, you know, that is outstanding. And, you know, we need more of that. That is so, so positive. I love hearing things like that.
Yeah, and you know, I love the whole mentor idea just in terms of how it's so good for the mentor and the person who's getting the guidance and the support. But it doesn't cost anything really to put mentors together. I mean, that's a really low-cost thing. It doesn't matter if your community has a lot of money or a little bit or not any at all. You've got people who have that capability to be mentors to other people, and so it's a great way to to really bring the community together.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, myself, I've been pretty busy in the community. We are going through a little transition at Team Winfrey. We will be looking for a new director. I'm going to add a position. I'm going to have somebody run my websites. You know, before right now I have a young man on the autism spectrum who runs my website, and he does a really good job, and he's my nephew. But what's happening is he's transitioning, so we're trying to get him work in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you know, I want to give somebody another opportunity to run the websites and use their creative minds to enhance it or keep it the same way. You know, I love the work that he's done. He's been outstanding, and the changes, you know, they're exciting. You know, sometimes when you go through these changes as an organization, they can be difficult, frustrating, but, you know, adding a new director, positive, it's another voice. It's a new voice that can give us new ideas, you know, because sometimes, you know, my ideas, you know, they can become stagnant. You know, I tend to throw so many things up on the wall, as I said earlier, that, you know, a lot of them don't stick. So it'd be refreshing to get a different point of view on the direction that, you know, adults on the spectrum and homeless and underprivileged youth, you know, what direction they want to go in. It'd be nice to get a different voice and a different perspective on that. So I'm doing that, in the process of doing that. The golf season is going to pick up again next month. I'll be planning a few charity events. And my golf game is pretty good right now. It could always be better, but I'm excited at the way that the season has progressed thus far. And you know, that's basically about it. You know, the radio show, you know, I'm glad to be back on the air, and Blog Talk Radio gives me the platform to go commercial free, which is nice. So I don't have to take breaks. I can kind of let, you know, the guests kind of continue to tell the story and, you know, raise awareness, you know, without having to go to break and have such a short 10-minute segment, you know, that they really can't get everything in. So this has been a great platform for me to come back to. You know, I had fans of the show ask me, why did I leave? And, you know, I thought that being based out of Seattle would give me a little more exposure, which it did. But again, I think because we had so many commercials throughout the show, it was hard for the listeners to grasp the concept of the guests, because you would tell the story, but you only got about 10 minutes to talk, you know? So I think this platform is going to be a little bit better for both of us. And, you know, I'm glad that you're here, you know, for the month. And I know, you know, you're going to have exciting stories to share about what's going on in the community in Charleston, South Carolina. How's the weather, by the way?
Oh, it's gorgeous. Yeah. Of course, I'm in an air-conditioned building right now, but it is really beautiful right now. And it's sunny and warm. And it's humid here, of course. You don't get as much humidity up where you're at, I don't think, because we do.
I do not.
Yeah. So, but it's beautiful here. Well, it's very exciting to hear what about the changes that you're making. I was feeling the growing pains as you talked about the changes that you're having. But they are, you know, when you bring in fresh insight and new people, it really can energize things and just take things to another level. So, you know, just like you're always trying to take your game to that next level, and getting in those new people can take take this to the next level as well. So
absolutely.
I'm happy to hear that.
Thank you so much. Well, let's get into some of these questions today, because, you know, I ask my fans and listeners of the show to email questions, and I get so many via email that I, you know, we have to pick out, you know, only a few, you know, because some of them are the same questions, just asked in a different way. But we got a few good ones today. So I'm going to start off with Marsha from New York, and this is for you, Tony. She asks, Tony, how is advocating for others?
Oh, my. You know, when I first started years ago, I thought I was advocating for others, and I realized that as I began to do that I'm really advocating for myself and my children and my community as well, because we're all, you know, we're all interconnected. And if you're hurting or you are not reaching your full potential, then that affects me, not necessarily directly. So that is one of the most beautiful things that I've seen in terms of advocating, is that it really shows me how interconnected we are. And it has helped me to really be a better person and take better care of myself. One thing that I think those of us who are caregivers, whether we're parents or professionals, we do have a tendency to look after everybody else first and sometimes neglect ourselves and not care for ourselves. And advocating for other people has really also taught me, hey, you know, if I'm going to be the best mom I'm going to be, if I'm going to be the best professional that I want to be, I really need to do the things I need to set the boundaries for myself and take care of myself as well.
Absolutely. Outstanding. And that's something that I've tried to let people know, that when I do, when I advocate it, it inspires me. It helps me every day, you know, deal with the little things, right, that may be huge to someone else. I learn more about myself as a person as I advocate, and I think that's very important. Great answer. Mm-hmm. Great answer.
Okay, one more thing that you just prompted me to think about with that, and that is that it's really easy to lose perspective when you're in your own world, and when you get out there and look at what other people are struggling with, you know, that's a real call for gratitude, because, you know, we're very blessed, I'm very blessed, and there are people out there who don't have it as good. And so we really need to be appreciative of the good things we have, and that gives you that perspective.
I love it. Absolutely. Well said. Well said. Let's move on to Ben in Missouri. And this question is for both of us, he says. Do either of you know what it will take to stop the bullying that seems to have gotten worse in this crazy world? That's a great question. Where do I begin with that? You know, I do believe that it's gotten worse. And I think, you know, one of the ways to stop it is we all need to at some point come to the table and talk about it. It seems like we only talk about it when something bad happens. We need to really get on this subject and nip it in the bud, because I think if we continue to go about it the way that we're going about it, it's only going to get worse, and we're going to hear more tragic stories. So I wish we would, you know, when you don't hear anything about what's, you know, about the bullying that's going on, that's the time to sit down and say, okay, listen, we need to come up with a plan in schools, in the community, at the playground, in sports, to talk about how do we nip this in the bud, you know. And I think we don't do that until something tragic happens. And even then, when we talk about it after a horrific event, we tend to, go to sleep, so to speak. We tend to move on to something else, as if to say that, okay, we've nipped it in the bud, or we made our voices heard that day, and then we kind of go silent. What do you think about that?
I agree 100% that we tend to get kind of lazy about it if it's not, you know, glaring us in the face. But I think we're in a very, very concerning kind of atmosphere right now, where the bullying has increased. I agree with you. And I think we need to look at what is the underlying cause for that. And people bully when they feel fear and when they feel disenfranchised, and they pick on people who they perceive as having less power. So it's a power struggle. So one of the things that I do when I go out in the community and focus on this specific issue is to really look at how we can give those people who are bullying or who are at risk for becoming bullies a sense of power in a positive way. So when I identify bullies in a community, I find a way to actually turn them into our mentors and our role models. Find out what are they good at and how can they help other people. And that's key, because if you are being reinforced and rewarded for being good, you don't have to go and be bad to get that attention or to get that sense of feeling powerful. And that's really key in my mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's so important. I mean, and we have to stay on top of the subject and really nip this thing. You know, I think the more we stay silent about it, the worse it gets. And I like that idea that you came up with. I think that's very key. And again, you know, this is where it feels like our voices get drowned out, you know, where they say, well, we've got it under control. You don't have to worry about it, and you can go out. You can go about your business, and we'll take care of it. And nothing ever really happens.
Yeah, I love that you're talking about really, you know, focusing on it when people aren't really paying attention. I think you're absolutely right. And part of what that means is looking at our little children. You know, looking at the little ones, the 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 year olds. And then giving them alternatives to bullying behavior and giving them ways to interact and express things at that really, really early age, versus waiting until, you know, they become teenagers, and then the stakes are higher. I was bullied when I was, you know, a kid. And a lot of times what happens is when you get somebody who bullies, then it's not handled well once the bullying occurs. An authority might say, well, let's get the bully and the kid who was bullied together. And that actually is a mistake in my mind, because what you're doing is you're giving more power to the behavior that bullying.
Right.
You need to keep that separate, because then that person who's experienced that behavior feels even as if that authority figure is aligning with the other person. So,
Wow, well said.
But
next
again,
question.
We're all connected. We're all connected, you know. And I can't bully you, Eli, if I feel like we're connected. That's the other piece. So.
Correct.
Sorry, we can go
exactly.
On now.
That's That's a great point. I mean, you that makes perfect sense, you know. And I think that's where we need to be, right there. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next question from Kevin in Georgia. He wants to know, Eli, you talked about an autism summit some time ago, and I wanted to know if you still plan on making that happen and where. Now, I did, and it's on my bucket list. You know, I think I mentioned this to you before, Tony, that I would love to have a summit where all these great minds get together in a room, and we talk about implementing something, you know, some type of plan or service to individuals across the country. You know, again, this is one of those things that, like I said, I throw on the wall and hoping that it sticks. You know, my trip to Springfield, Missouri, when I went there the first year, it hit me, you know, because I was around all these amazing advocates and doctors and authors. And I said to myself, you know, what if I could get a lot of advocates come here? This could be the meeting place, and we sit down and we hash out something, and we can make it a big event where families and kids can come. We can have like a golf skills clinic. We can have other activities, and then we get in a room and we talk about pressing issues, and we all come up with ideas in trying to make the world better for families who have kids and adults on the spectrum. Because a lot of what I see is when kids graduate high school, it seems like services stop. They start to go backwards. It's almost as if to say that, you know, they're done. You know, we're done servicing the kids. Mm-hmm. So that's been my dream, to have that type of thing. So, I mean, that's a good question. What do you think about that?
I love this, and I remember we talked about this last time we were together, and I'm really actually very excited, and it's in my bucket list too. And so I just think we need to make a commitment to really, you know, bide our time, but really strategically plan to make that happen. I'll be there to support you if we're going to do that. And I love the idea of doing the clinic, where we've got people out there actually doing that physical meditative kind of exercise in conjunction with the think tank part of it. I think that's great. So I'm all in.
Awesome. I love it. I absolutely love it. Let's take one more question. Let's see. Patricia from Texas. She wants to know, what motivates both of you to continue to do what you do for others? I'm sure you both burn out at some point. To be honest, I will admit, you know, I do have moments where I burn the candle at both ends, and mentally and physically, I'm pretty spent. Now, it doesn't, you know, stop me from getting out there and advocating, you know, but I do have moments where I have to stop and slow down and you know, relight the candle a bit and or, you know, get remotivated and refocused, because it can be pretty tough, especially when you're out in the public, and I'm sure you've been through this. You know, you do have your doubters and your naysayers and things like that, and so you know, that's something that we all have to deal with. But I do tend to, you know, I'll flame out more toward the end of the year when I've gone nonstop for 5-6 months, and you know, advocating, recruiting, you know, getting things done for my charity. You know, like I'm all over the place. So I do fall into a little bit of that, but it doesn't lessen, you know, my motivation to change the world.
I can relate 100% with what you're saying. And I tend to really work in really high productive spurts and then need to take a break. And I think, you know, I've had to learn to set boundaries for myself so that I can actually not get to that real extreme burnout stage. But one thing I'm thinking about is you're talking about, you know, going all out and reaching certain goals, which is the way I tend to operate too, is that it's part of a cycle. And I think that I just recognize once I reach certain goals and I'm in that age of kind of rest, it's like the seasons. We have spring, summer, fall, winter. And we have that in our lives when we're advocating or we're, you know, motivated to get these certain goals done, where the rest is the part of the process where we're rejuvenating and we're letting things settle and sit in, which helps us to be more productive for the next go-around. So it's recognizing that it's all a process and honoring that process so that I don't get burnt out. That's how I look at it.
Absolutely. Now, before we wrap up here, I would like to shout out a wonderful friend of mine, and her name is Stella Waterhouse. And Stella's been on my show about a year ago, and she does amazing things in the autism community. Right now, she's setting up a worldwide censor-friendly directory of venues, events, and more for families on the autism spectrum. And, you know, if you want to know more about that, I would encourage everyone to visit censorfriendlydirectory.com. It's a wonderful site. Stella is a wonderful individual, and I hope to have her back on the show. I'm trying to get her hopefully I can get her book for next week, so we can talk to her about the things that she's doing for the autism community. She is a wonderful woman, and I wanted to shout her out and get her information out there. She does incredible things.
Oh, you have my vote on her as a guest. That sounds really excellent. I'd love to talk to her.
That is awesome. Now before we close the show, is there anything, you know, you want to pass on to the listeners? You know, I know that I'll get tons of email questions about the show today and how great you were and you know, can you make her a full-time guest? I got that before. I had a few listeners who heard you on my previous show say, you know, why don't you add her as a co-host? And her knowledge is vital. And it's like, well, I'm working on it. So is there anything you would like to leave the listeners with today?
Yeah, it's just, you know, we are a community, and we need to stick together and work together. So, you know, anybody who has an urge or a desire or need to reach out to me, I'm accessible. My website's Tony Boucher, or Tony at TonyBoucher.net. And we're in it together. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This has been fabulous. You know, I would love to get more questions in, and at some point maybe we will do that. It, you know, they ask so many, and we only got the four today.
More questions. these are like smart, like thoughtful people you have on your show.
Absolutely. You know, they tune in from across the country, and you know, I like I said, I'm honored to have you as a friend and a co-host. And it's it's another voice, you know, besides my voice, because I this platform is for everyone, and I want to share the platform, right? Because, you know, I don't know everything about the spectrum. I'm still learning, you know, as well as learning about the homeless and underprivileged youth, you know. But if I can share the platform and let your voice kind of carry, you know, portions of the show, I think it's great, because then, you know, we get people reaching out that otherwise wouldn't, you know. So I think this is a fabulous idea, and I'm glad that this thing came to fruition.
Oh, me too. It's wonderful always to talk with you. So.
Outstanding. Well, that's about it for today, folks. I'm glad you all tuned in. This was fabulous introducing my wonderful co-host, Tony Boucher. Again, you can catch her. You're also on Facebook, correct?
I am on Facebook, uh-huh, and on Twitter as well, under my name.
Oh, okay.
Tony Boucher.
So be sure to check her. Be sure to check her out. It has been fabulous having her on today as my co-host. Until next time,
likewise.
Get out in the community and make someone or something better. This has been the Elijah Winfrey Show on blogtalkradio.com. Bye-bye.